RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by a press review, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Listeners, here's the news read by Steve. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo appreciates management of Bogor Botanical Garden. Sweden interested in Indonesian creativity. Now the news in detail. Bogor Botanical Garden celebrated the second century anniversary in Bogor, West Java on Thursday. The celebration was attended by the 5th Indonesian President Megawati Sukarnoputri, Minister of Communications and Informatics Rudiantara, Chairman of Indonesian Institute of Sciences Iskandar Zulkarnain, Bogor Mayor Bima Arya, members of the House, other stakeholders and representatives of Indonesian-friendly countries. The celebration was also appreciated by President Joko Widodo. His appreciation in his written speech was read by the Chairman of Presidential Staff, Teten Mas Duki.
Yang pertama, beliau memesankan kepada saya untuk menyampaikan apresiasi yang sebesar-besarnya kepada...
Firstly, President appreciated warmly the management of Bogor Botanical Garden that has succeeded to develop the garden as center of conservation, center for education, and center of sciences, in which it has shown its best progress. The President congratulates Bogor Botanical Garden for its 200th anniversary.
President Joko Widodo also said that Bogor Botanical Garden has become a long history of planting conservation and exploring sustainable plants. It has been a milestone of important scientific development. The President said that Bogor Botanical Garden has been an initiative of scientific development of plants. Starting from Bogor Botanical Garden, there have been many research institutes in Indonesia. The King of Sweden, Carl XVI Gustaf, and Queen Sylvia will conduct their first state visit to Indonesia from May 22 to 24, 2017. Ambassador of Sweden to Indonesia, Johanna Brismaskog, in the press briefing in Jakarta on Thursday, said that the King and Queen of Sweden are interested in creativity of Indonesia. That will be realized by making Bandung as one of their destination during the state visit.
Well, Jakarta is a given, as everything happens here, of course. Bogor, we've noticed that the President is doing more and more things in Bogor, the official state visits. Bandung, I know it's a pretty unusual choice, most go to Jovia. We chose Bandung this year because it corresponds to our aspirations and ambitions to work together with Indonesia when it comes to creativity, innovation.
Ambassador Cook further explained, before going to Bandung, King Carl XVI Gustaf will attend the hackathon event in Jakarta to see Indonesian hacking generation and their contribution for creative economy. Separately, Queen Sylvia is scheduled to visit Jakarta Creative Hub to meet young Indonesian creators and business people. On the last day of their visit, the King and the Queen of Sweden will come to Bandung to meet with Bandung Mayor Ridwan Kamil and join a seminar on triple helix and innovation. Indonesian Ambassador to Sweden, Bagas Habsoro, said in Jakarta on Thursday that Sweden fully supports Indonesia's bid for a non-permanent membership of the United Nations Security Council. He feels that the Sweden considers that Indonesia and Sweden have an important role in maintaining the stability of the region. Both countries have also proven their commitment in maintaining world peace. In addition, Ambassador Bagas also pointed out that Indonesia and Sweden have no hidden interest in their commitment to the world peace. He said, Indonesia is a strong candidate for the United Nations Security Council's non-permanent member for the period of 2019-2020.
Bahwa Indonesia ini akan menjadi dan sudah berniat untuk menjadi anggota Dewan Keamanan.
Indonesia is going to be and already intends to become a member of the UN Security Council. Full support from Sweden already exists. They consider Sweden and Indonesia as a net contributors not only for stability in the region but also for security in the world. The problems in the Middle East, the ISIS problem, are until now unsolved because we assume that there is no permanent solution because state powers, superpowers, have their own agendas. Indonesia and Sweden, on the other hand, have an agenda primarily inspired by free and active politics.
Indonesian Ambassador to Sweden, Bagas Habsoro, further said that a number of Northern European or Scandinavian countries have shown their interest to cooperate with Indonesia. Since 2014, a number of heads of the state from the region have made state visits to Indonesia in a bid to improve cooperation. Ambassador Bagas also stated that one of Indonesia's attractions to these countries is the success of Indonesia in improving democracy. In addition, President Joko Widodo has also shown his commitment to maintain democracy in Indonesia while handling the nation's issues. Ambassador Bagas views that currently the Scandinavian countries have had a common vision with Indonesia to handle human rights issues. The Queen of Sweden, Carl XVI Gustav and Queen Silvia, will make a state visit to Indonesia on May 22nd until 24th. This was stated again by the Swedish ambassador to Indonesia, Johanna Rismarskog, in a press briefing at her residence in Jakarta. Ambassador Johanna also said that there are three main objectives in the first state visit of the King and the Queen of Sweden to Indonesia.
We have three main purposes with the visit. One, first of all, we see there's a need to increasing the knowledge about the respective country. The second one is Indonesia is eager for more investment, trade, more job opportunities. Sweden, same thing. We see that our economies are quite complementary. We have a lot of products and ideas and solutions that could benefit Indonesia. It comes from everything to trade and infrastructure. The third sector, the third purpose, is the innovation research collaboration. And we already have strong ongoing relationships between Swedish academic institutions and Indonesian academic institutions.
Ambassador Johanna further said, in the trade and investment sectors, Sweden is interested in various Indonesian products, including coffee, cacao, fashion, games, and animation. Sweden is also willing to share information on a sustainable economy. King Carl XVI Gustav and the Queen Silvia will be accompanied by two ministers and 31 representatives of the Swedish largest companies. Indonesian Agriculture Minister Amran Sulaiman announced that recently the authorities have arrested three individuals for allegedly smuggling and hoarding 182 tons of garlic at a warehouse in Marunda, North Jakarta. Minister Amran said in Jakarta on Thursday that the permit for the three suspects has been revoked. He also remarked that his ministry is still monitoring importers' activities. He asked the authorities to arrest other people suspected to be illegally hoarding garlic. The minister said that, without providing the details of suspected hoarders, there will be others to be arrested if they do not release their stock from the warehouses. Meanwhile, Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tiasto Lukita said that he will revoke permits following the raid. A total of 11 drug dealers in North Sumatra province have been shot dead since early this year. Chief of the North Sumatra Provincial Police Inspector General, Rico Amelzadano said in Medano, Sumatra on Thursday that the two of the 11 drug dealers were shot dead by the team of drug detective unit of the Medan City Police. Daniel said that the two drug dealers were the 10th and 11th that were shot dead. Daniel, who was accompanied by Chief of the Medan City Police Senior, Sandy Nugroho, said before being shot dead, the two were arrested at Sir Rokan Street while riding a motorcycle. The police found 1 kilogram of crystal meth from the motorcycle. The police later searched the rented house of the two suspects, but they found no drugs. When the police interrogated them, they said that they will keep the crystal meth in the housing complex at Bungaraya Street. When the police searched in the housing complex, they found a backpack containing 1 kilogram of crystal meth. The suspects later used a locally assembled gun kept in the backpack to threaten the police officers. The last item. Central Bank of Indonesia, Bank Indonesia, has predicted that Indonesia's economy will grow 5.1% year-on-year in the second quarter from April to June this year due to further improvement in export performance. Bank Indonesia Governor Agus Martowardoyo said that at a press conference in Jakarta on Thursday that Bank Indonesia projection is 5.1% in the second and the third quarters, and it could be above 5.2% in the fourth quarter. Bank of Indonesia has seen the country's export performance continue to improve following increasing demand for commodities from China and India, while in the manufacturing industry, the demand from European importers has also increased. In the same occasion, Bank Indonesia Deputy Governor Peri Warjio mentioned that the price index of Indonesian export commodities is predicted to increase by around 15%. And listener, that was the news.
Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, thank you for joining the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. Listener, the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 ended on April 30th, and now is the time you've been waiting for. The announcement of the winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. Based on the Indonesian Tourism Ministry letter dated on May 5th, 2017, on the winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017, here are the winners. Mitsuaki Horike from Japan, Takashi Kawai from Japan, Akio Uemura from Japan, Prithviraj Purkayasta from India, Pradeep Chandra Kundu from India, Adita Pritika Subramanian from India, Titong Yang from China, Kong Lei from China, Chao Yanping from China, and Michael Cunningham from Australia. On behalf of Indonesian Tourism Ministry and Voice of Indonesia, we would like to congratulate all the winners. The winners are invited to visit Indonesia from May 27 until 31st, 2017. Those who have been mentioned as the winners in this announcement must complete their travel documents and prominent figure form and send them along with your photo to our email address, wiquiz2017@gmail.com. wiquiz2017@gmail.com. Once again, congratulations, and we are looking forward to seeing you in Indonesia.
Listener commentary today entitled "Result of Iran's General Election and World Geopolitics." Today, Iran determines the future of its government policy. Iranian Foreign Affairs Ministry, which is followed by Shia Group, will immediately announce the result of Iran's general election. The announcement to be gradually carried out indicates that who the new Iranian president is and will lead the country. Unlike other countries, the Iranian Home Affairs Ministry decides to publicize the result of the vote count gradually by requesting consideration from the Guardian Council. In addition, the Ministry of Home Affairs also needs to accept consideration from the supervisory board regarding the implementation of electoral rules. This decision is in contrast to the previous announcement stating that the announcement should not be carried out gradually. As we know, Iran, embarrassing CS in the general election, recognizes an institution called Guardian Council, an institution which is responsible for overseeing the implementation of the elections. The elections in Iran had been followed by four candidates. They are Hassan Rouhani, Ibrahim Raisi, Mustafa Hashem Itaba, and Mustafa Akad Mirsalim. Approaching the 14th day, two candidates, namely Eshah Jahangiri and Muhammad Bagir Khalifat, had resigned. Based on the determination of the election committee, the number of Iranian citizens who will cast their voting rights reaches more than 56 million people, including those living abroad. Since there are four election candidates, probably second round will take place if no candidate has support of at least 50% plus one. So the question is that who will be the number one person in Tehran? Like many other countries, the Iranian government also allows for polling activities, at least two polls show the result that incumbent candidate President Hassan Rouhani is predicted to be winner compared with the three other candidates. One survey conducted on 7 until 8 May 2017 by the Iranian Student Polling Agency showed result that Rouhani gained 42% of the vote, and second position was Ibrahim Raisi, a widely known credit by Iranian society. And the third was followed by Mayor of Tehran, Muhammad Bagir Ghalibaf. Now, not only citizens of Iran, but also some citizens of the powerful countries such as United States, Russia, and China are waiting for the result of Iranian general elections. The United States, which has been fighting for a long time, has to wait for who will be number one person in Iran. So does Russia, which is alleged in its Syrian-related policy. The outcome of the general election in Iran will certainly bring about impact on foreign relations, which are influenced by Tehran's policy towards nuclear use and its views on the geopolitics of Middle East, especially relations with Israel and Syria. Listener, that was commentary. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, here is Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from the past as recorded in history. We start from May 19, 1936, Watson Ward founded Radar. The post-World War I, when seeing warships, Watson began to think the way to detect the existence of plane through the changes of radio wave signals. The Watson Ward radio station finally detected a plane up to 70 miles in 1936. Watson Ward then suggested to the government to build the radar station at work, which stands for radio detecting and ranging to detect the aircraft's attacks. The success of the system was felt by the British when fighting against Germany in the British War that lasted from August to October 1940. For his services, Watson Ward was awarded a prize money and medal by the British government. We now continue to an event which occurred on May 19, 1981, Hamka resigned from his service as chairman of the Indonesian Ulama Council, MUI. Haji Abdul Malik Karim Amarullah, or better known as Hamka, is an Indonesian writer, as well as cleric and a political activist. Hamka was firstly worked as a religious teacher in 1927 at the Bing Tinggi Plantation, Medan, North Sumatra, and religious teacher in Padang Panjang in 1929. From 1951 to 1960, Hamka served as a high religious officer to the Indonesian Minister of Religious Affairs, but took office when former President Sukarno told him to choose between being a civil servant or active in the politics of the Majelis Syura Muslim in Indonesia or Syura Council of Indonesia's Muslim, Masyumi. Hamka was an autodidact in various fields of science such as philosophy, literature, history, sociology and politics, both Islam and the West. In 1953, Hamka was elected as advisor for the executive of Muhammadiyah Center. On July 26, 1977, Indonesian religious minister Mukti Ali inaugurated Hamka as chairman of the Indonesian Ulama Council, but later resigned on May 19, 1981, because he was ignored by the Indonesian government. Hamka has received several awards in national and international rankings, such as the honor of Dr. Honoris Causa from Al-Azhar University in 1958, Honoris Causa Doctorate from University Kebangsaan Malaysia in 1974, and Dato' Indono and Pangeran Wiroguno from the Indonesian government. We conclude today's segment of Today in History with an event which occurred on May 19, 2004, the establishment of Indonesian Theoretical Physics Group. The Theoretical Physics Group of Indonesia, founded on May 19, 2004, was an informal organization of theoretical physics community in Indonesia. As an informal container of theoretical physicists, unlike other scientific profession organizations, the Theoretical Physics Group of Indonesia was managed purely without permanent stewardship, in keeping with modern organizations in the digital era. With the system, the organization did not bother some members and can focus more on the substance of activities according to the organization's goals. As the real activity, GFTI, or the Theoretical Physics Group of Indonesia, oversees the consortium of workshop on theoretical physics organizers, which is held annually with alternating locations among the consortium member institutions. Listener, that was the segment of Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome back to Focus. Today, we'll take to the topic about Indonesia and Lithuania agree the cooperation of energy and transportation. Indonesia and Lithuania formally cooperate in a number of fields, as outlined in the signing of a Memorandum of Understanding through representatives of ministers from both countries. The signing was conducted after President Joko Widodo received a state visit of the Lithuanian President Dalia Grybauskaitė at Merdeka Palace, Jakarta on Wednesday, May 17, 2017. President Joko Widodo, in a press statement with Lithuanian President at Merdeka Palace, said the first cooperation between the two countries in the field of energy, such as biomass energy, energy from waste, and also biogas. Secondly, in the field of information and technology, both for land and air transportations. During the meeting, Indonesia also agreed to increase trade and investment cooperation. In addition, Indonesia also encourages negotiations within the Indonesia-European Union Comprehensive Partnership Agreement to be resolved immediately. Indonesia, according to the president, also has conveyed his attitude toward the ongoing black campaign and discriminatory actions of Indonesian palm products in Europe. The president claimed to ask requested Lithuanian support for Indonesian products to be treated fairly. President Joko Widodo added that tourists from Lithuania in the last 4 years increased very significantly, namely 183% from 2013 to 2016. President Joko Widodo considers the visit of Dalia Grybauskaitė is a historical visit because it was for the first time the Lithuania president came to Indonesia. This was also the first meeting between the Indonesian and Lithuanian presidents since the establishment of diplomatic relations 24 years ago. On the same occasion, the Lithuanian president Dalia Grybauskaitė explained the commitment of her party and the European countries in supporting CEPA, or Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement. She is also committed to support visa-free negotiations to the European Union as it will bring 2.5 billion euros in revenues. This will improve welfare and security. President Dalia said her country also hopes to establish cooperation in agriculture with Indonesia later, because she admitted Lithuania has the capital to improve agricultural sector. She also hoped the visit will be a momentum of encouragement for both sides, one of them in agriculture. In addition to meet President Joko Widodo, President Dalia also visited the Speaker of the House of Representatives, Setia Novanto. Listener, that's the focus.
Listener, here is news in brief. Bogor Botanical Garden celebrated its second century anniversary in Bogor, West Java on Thursday. The King of Sweden, Carl XVI Gustaf, and Queen Sylvia will conduct their first state visit to Indonesia from May 22 to 24, 2017. Indonesian Ambassador to Sweden Bagas Hapsoro said in Jakarta on Thursday that Sweden fully supports Indonesia's bid for a non-permanent membership of the United Nations Security Council. Ambassador Johanna said that there are three main objectives in the first state visit of the King and the Queen of Sweden to Indonesia. Indonesian Agriculture Minister Amran Sulaiman announced that recently the authorities have arrested three individuals for allegedly smuggling and hoarding 182 tons of garlic at the house in Marunda. A total of 11 drug dealers in North Sumatra province have been shot dead since early this year. Central Bank of Indonesia has predicted that Indonesia's economy will grow 5.1% year-on-year in the second quarter from April to June this year due to further improvement in export performance. Listener, that was News in Brief.
Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, thank you for joining the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. Listen to the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 ended on April 30th, and now is the time you've been waiting for. The announcement of the winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. Based on the Indonesian Tourism Ministry letter dated on May 5th, 2017, on the winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017, here are the winners. Mitsuaki Horike from Japan, Takashi Kawai from Japan, Akio Uemura from Japan, Prithviraj Purkayasta from India, Pradeep Chandra Kundu from India, Adita Pritika Subramanian from India, Titong Yang from China, Kong Lei from China, Chao Yanping from China, and Michael Cunningham from Australia. On behalf of Indonesian Tourism Ministry and Voice of Indonesia, we would like to congratulate all the winners. The winners are invited to visit Indonesia from May 27 until 31st, 2017. Those who have been mentioned as the winners in this announcement must complete their travel documents and prominent figure form and send them along with your photo to our email address, wiquiz2017@gmail.com. wiquiz2017@gmail.com. Once again, congratulations, and we are looking forward to seeing you in Indonesia. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome back to the regular Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. Today we will take you to Lumajang, East Java to see Kertowono Tea Plantation. Stay tuned. Lumajang is one of the sub-districts in East Java. The regency is directly adjacent to Probolinggo, Jember, Malang, and Indian Ocean in the north. Lumajang is famous for its quite diverse tourism objects, starting from the beach tour, lake tour, until the waterfall tour. For those who want to enjoy the sensation of different tours in Lumajang, you can visit Kertowono Tea Plantation. It is located at Guci Alit Subdistrict, Lumajang Regency, East Java Province. Listener visiting Kertowono Tea Plantation, you can feel adventure experience in the tea garden. The tour also offers ecotourism concept. Tourists with a special interest can wade tea plantation field with a trail bike. In addition, tourists can also play bikes in the tea garden. For those who like camping, it is available a camping ground at Kampung Baru or Bukit Inspirasi and at Puncak 74 and at Puncak 74. At the Bukit Inspirasi, you can also enjoy view of sunrise with mountains and the sea as the background. The mountains are Mount Semeru, Lemongan, Raung, and Mount Argopuro. Listener, interestingly, the tourism area also offers educational tours. Since the area is a tea plantation site, it is offered tea education tour. During the tour, you will be invited to see the making process of tea leaves, starting from picking up to the cup tasting. You can walk around the tea gardens and enter the factory to see various tea processing equipment. If you want to participate in the tea educational tour, you must form a group of 10 people. Later, when you get around, you will be accompanied by a tour guide. ¶¶ Listener, Kertawono Tea Plantation is located in the area of Perkebunan Nusantara, PTPN 12. The area of Kertawono Tea Plantation is about 2,267.97 hectares with an altitude of 650 to 1,250 meters from sea level. It is a Dutch heritage plantation. The type of tea which is grown in the area is black tea. Since 1910 by N.V. Tigderman van Kersen, a Dutch government-owned company that opened the land since 1875. The tea plantation takes about 55 kilometers away from Lumajang city. The trip can be taken by private or public vehicles. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonderful today with the topic Kertawono Tea Plantation. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we will inform you about sausage made of seaweed. Stay tuned. The potential of seaweed in Indonesia has a bright prospect, and it becomes one of export commodities in Indonesia. One type of seaweed that has high economic value is brown seaweed. It contains odium and active compounds such as phenol. With this background, the Bogor Agriculture Institute IPB made innovation of seaweed sausage. This team is chaired by M. Habibur Rahman with the members Desta Elpina, Arif Wardana Herlambang, Fajriansa Hendra Pratama, and Miftah Rizki Islamoriza. These five students are recorded as the students of Agribusiness Department of Management and Faculty of Economy. Habibur feels that so imut sausage is healthy one because it is made of seaweed and not using preservatives. Seaweed also contains protein, carbohydrate, and fiber that is good to consume every day because it functions to organize human metabolism. One of the members of the team, Desta Elpina, explained that the process to market their product is going on. The team tries to manage the trade license business, including finding partners to mass produce. Desta added that the first fund to process the sausage is from the Ministry of Education, Research and Technology, amounting about 10 million rupiah. On the first stage, soimut sausage is marketed in campuses. The response from the market is that many students love the 16,000 rupiah product. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany that informed you about soimut, healthy sausage made by IPB students. I'm Nico Kusumawati. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next Miscellany.
meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern ones. To initiate today's edition, let's enjoy together a song from a dangdut singer that was popular in the 70s to 90s, Arafik, with a song entitled Lirikan Matamu. Stay tuned at voi.co.id. Listener, you've just listened to a song entitled Lirikan Matamu from Arafik, one of Indonesian famous dangdut singers. In each his performance, Arafik always performed with a unique costume. his stage costumes were nuanced by Elvis Presley's stage costume, but with bright colors like those worn by Indian singers. So many people say that his performance is like an Indian singer. His songs got warm response from dangdut music lovers in the 70s to 90s. There are some songs that depict a man's admiration for women, as in the song Lirikan Matamu and Pandangan Pertama. Well, listener, I will play you a song entitled Pandangan Pertama. Stay tuned.
Pandangan pertama awal aku berjumpa. Pandangan pertama awal aku berjumpa, seolah-olah hanya impian yang berlalu. Sungguh tak kusangka dan rasa tak percaya, gadis secantik dia datang menghampiriku. Hampir-hampir aku tak sadar dibuatnya. Aku berjumpa, pandangan pertama awal aku berjumpa, seolah-olah hanya impian yang berlalu. Sungguh tak kusangka dan rasa tak percaya, gadis secantik dia datang menghampiriku. Hampir-hampir aku sadar dibuatnya. Pandangan pertama awal aku berjumpa, rasanya tak ingin lagi untuk berpisah. Entah karena mengapa aku sendiri tak tahu. Jangan-jangan hati telah bersarang cinta.
Listener, thank you for still listening to Music Corner with me, Dee. Today, we play some dangdut songs from Arafik. The singer was born in 1958, and after being successful in music world, he also played in the movie and become a director. Arafik passed away in 2013, leaving many memories for his fans. To close today's Music Corner, we will listen to a song entitled Cantik. Thank you for listening and see you at the next Music Corner. Thank you.
memang cantik, oh cantik, sangat memikat hati. Bila sedang berjalan, nampak asik sekali. Misalkan dia bunga, pasti ku sirami. Ku pagar dan ku jaga dengan sepenuh hati. Biar akan ku coba menghampirinya nanti. Sangat memikat hati. Bila sedang berjalan, nampak asik sekali. Misalkan dia bunga, pasti ku sirami. Ku pagar dan ku jaga dengan sepenuh hati. Biar akan ku coba menghampirinya nanti.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Pandangan pertama awal aku berjumpa. Pandangan pertama awal aku berjumpa, seolah-olah hanya impian yang berlalu. Sungguh tak kusangka dan rasa tak percaya, gadis secantik dia datang menghampiriku. Hampir-hampir aku tak sadar dibuatnya.
No! bayangan pertama awal aku berjumpa. Pandangan pertama awal aku berjumpa seolah-olah hanya impian yang berlalu. Sungguh tak kusangka dan rasa tak percaya. Sadar dibuatnya. Pandangan pertama awal aku berjumpa, rasanya tak ingin lagi untuk berpisah. Entah karena mengapa aku sendiri tak tahu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.